All right, so I'll have you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20 and verse 13. It's a little bit of a lengthy passage today, so we'll just go through it as we go through the message. Let's pray for a moment. Our Father, now as we consider your word and the things that you have stored up for us and things that you would show us today, we pray that you would make us attentive to the things of your word. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be moving in our hearts and our minds to lead us in the way that we should go. We pray that you would form the mind of Christ in each of us, Lord, and help us to trust and obey every day. I pray in his name, amen. All right, so from here on out in the book of Acts, we're going to be following Paul through a rather lengthy adventure of a different sort. His pioneering missionary trips are at an end now, at least for the duration of the book of Acts. Chronologically, after Acts ends, Paul once again will be free to move out and about, and he'll be able to travel to Spain like he wanted to do. Seems like he also is going to go to the island of Crete, which we haven't visited yet here in the book of Acts, and who knows where else he went. And they refer to it as his fourth missionary journey. The Bible just gives us a few hints about where he might have gone after the book of Acts is over and before his life comes to an end. This trip that he's now about to undertake to go to Jerusalem is going to end up with him being arrested, and he's going to spend the rest of the book in custody. Okay, and so this is kind of a mission work of a different sort, if you like. You know, he's no longer going to be going to like villages and cities in the Roman Empire as a free citizen, and established churches and so on. He's going to be in shackles defending himself and testifying about his work, his calling before various officials and tribunals. Now, Jesus did say to the apostles, "You'll be brought before kings and governors on my account." Okay, so a lot of the rest of Acts is kind of like courtroom drama. We're going to see Paul's own description and evaluation of his life's work since Christ laid hold of him. He's going to be discussing, you know, what were my purposes? You know, why did I do what I did? What were my goals? What was my method? And all of that's very informative for our own knowledge of, you know, how do we handle the scriptures? You know, what are the guidelines for our own ministry as gospel bearers and preachers to be? You know, what should we aim to be and what should we aim to accomplish and why and how? Paul is eventually going to get to Rome. He wants to go to Rome, and he's not going to get there the way he was expecting to. You know, he was planning to go there as a free citizen. Instead, he's going to arrive there as a prisoner. But anyway, he gets there, okay, and he's going to be preaching Christ to some very important people. So you see, the Lord still has lots of plans in store for him, but like our own selves, the Lord does not necessarily tell us very much in advance about what those plans might be. You sort of just find out as you go, don't you? Okay, you obey the Lord, you follow him, you take each day as it comes. So I want to do it here, pick up in verse 13. You remember from last time that the group of men, they were in the city called Troas on the coast of northwest coast of what's today Turkey. They're going to start sailing south along the west coast of Turkey until they get out into the main body of the Mediterranean, and then they'll head east over towards Israel. And if you look at a map, you will see a lot of little islands along that coastline. Okay, so that's where we are. Verse 13, it says, "Then we," okay, "we is Luke plus everybody else except for Paul. Okay, "we went ahead to the ship, and we sailed to Assos," which is a town on the coast of the mainland, "there intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot." That's about 30 miles from Troas as the crow flies, and I think he's just grabbing opportunities to meet people along the road and preach Christ along the way. That's what I would guess. Okay, he wants to be picked up at this city. So they sail, he walks, or maybe rides an animal. So anyway, "when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene," which is on one of those little islands. It's about 30 miles farther south. "We sailed from there, and the next day we came opposite Chios." It's another little island, maybe another 70 miles they traveled. And then the following day, we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trogelium. This is maybe another 90 or 100 miles. And the next day, we came to Miletus, which is maybe another like 50 or 60 miles. Okay, Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time or lose time in Asia. He was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Okay, so you understand they passed Ephesus. They're heading south, and Ephesus is like 30 miles north of Miletus. So that's where they stopped for a day or two. Okay, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Okay, so we just got through this part of Acts. He's spent 3 full years of his life there. He cares very much about the ongoing health of the church. He's protective, as a shepherd ought to be. So he sort of takes this last chance to speak to the leadership of that church, to urge them to be on guard and stay faithful. Okay, there's a very large flock now there in Ephesus to watch over, and that's going to require some diligence. Okay, really what he's doing, he's passing the torch, right? And eventually, right, that's what we have to do, right? He has to pass the torch for every church that he's founded. You have to leave it. You know, there comes a time when whatever we've built for the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to leave it in the hands of others who come after us, right? Somebody passed the baton to us, right? We're carrying it for a while, and someday we're going to have to hand it over. So he's got to start thinking about finishing up well. So what he's going to say now in this address, they refer to it as the address to the Ephesian elders. Okay, what he says to them is very useful stuff. It's very instructive for anybody whose job it is to take care of Christ's people. So we want to spend a couple of weeks here in the rest of this chapter looking at the main things. So for today, I want to read the whole thing, and then we'll just take a little piece of it for today. All right, so verse 18. It says, "When they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and finish the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, namely to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship." All right. So there's several things to observe in there about, for example, Paul's manner of life, his A-plus diligence in discharging his duty, warning about the devil and the infiltration of selfish men. What I want to zero in on just for today is verses 22 to 24. Okay, here is a man who is determined to obey the master until the very end. Now, you'll know Paul's famous words from the end of his life in 2 Timothy, where he says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished my race, I have kept the faith," right? Everybody knows these words. That's sometime, obviously, later from here, right? So this is rewinding a few years from that point, and he still has some race yet to run. But what do you see? You see a man who's determined. He has a calling from the Lord. No matter what happens, his mind is made up to be obedient, okay? Unconditionally obedient. And I mean, isn't that what we're all supposed to be? Unconditionally obedient, right? I mean, you understand the importance of being obedient. But I think people often give God conditions. You know, I'll obey you as long as, you know, I'll serve you as long as you don't ask too much of me, you know, as long as it doesn't involve a lot of pain or sacrifices. Okay, how many times have you heard of somebody just giving up on Christ and leaving church for good because they resented something that happened to them? Okay, something, you know, they got hurt in some way. They missed out on some kind of blessing in life that they felt they should have had. You know, I met a man recently who was mad at God because his father had never been in his life. And he's like, "God didn't give me the father I needed." Well, I understand that that's painful. Okay, somebody's mad at God because a girl broke his heart. You know, somebody that you love gets a disease, or you lose a loved one, or there's some other hardship, or, you know, so they quit. You know, they don't go to church anymore. Okay, if obedience and faith are conditioned, right, if it has these conditions on, you know, as long as the cost isn't too high, I'm not sure that that qualifies as obedience or faith. Okay, there's a proverb that says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Okay, if you can't handle the day of adversity, right, you don't have enough strength. So is that how we relate to God? I obey when it's easy to obey, but if the going gets tough, you know, I throw in the towel. You know, I trust you when life is going good, but I did not see this coming. You know, I didn't think a loving God would let such and such happen to me, so I'm out. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. I bet each of you knows somebody who fits that description, right? Stopped following Christ because of some disappointment or letdown or hurt. Okay, I want you to hear Paul's words again, verse 22 through 24. All right, "See, I am going, bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, just so that I may finish my race with joy and complete the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." So anything could happen, right? Paul feels, he says he's compelled to go to Jerusalem. It says bound in the Spirit, right? Little s, Spirit, his Spirit. Okay, I must go, and I am going, even though I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. Right? The Holy Spirit just keeps showing me I'm going to run into trouble there and even prison. But come what may, even if it means losing my life, right, my loyalty to Jesus Christ and my service to him are immovable. Okay, so in the next chapter, as we see him traveling on, we're going to see a couple times where the believers tell Paul, "Don't go, don't go, you know, it's too dangerous." And he's that it may be dangerous, but I am determined to go. I'm ready to even lose my life for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Okay, and so think how this is similar to Christ's own journey to Jerusalem, right? He must go. He's determined to go, right? There are men in Jerusalem who have it in for him. They want to see him dead. Okay, but it says he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Right, "Oh, Jerusalem, you who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you." Right, that Jerusalem, yeah. Okay, he knew it was going to cost him. He's willing to pay the price. Right, so unconditional obedience, that's how you honor God with your life. Okay, your life belongs to him. He has some purpose to accomplish with your life, and He has the right to direct it in whatever way to bring his purpose to pass. So you see, the Father placed a call on Paul's heart. Paul's only desire is to complete the task the Lord gave him. His goal in life is not to like retire to Florida, not to avoid pain and suffering. It's to testify to the gospel of the grace of God, however, wherever, to whomever. Okay, that's my commission. As far as the particulars of it, I'll leave that part up to God. My life is in his hands to do as he decides. So I'm going, even though I don't know what will happen. And you know, I have thought for some years now, that little phrase encapsulates the perfect attitude of faith, going without knowing. Okay, and it came to me from the book of Hebrews. That's where it stands out the clearest, in the faith chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews 11, where it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went not knowing where he was going." Right? I mean, God didn't tell him the destination. Right? Abraham, leave your country, go from your people and your father's house, and go to a land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation there. And so Abraham gets up and goes. Where are we going? Well, just go. I'll tell you when you get there. You know, it's like you'll find out when you... He obeyed. Packed up everything. Like, his whole life totally changed. Okay, honey, we're going. What? Where? Where are we going? South, I guess. You know, but isn't that our life? That's our life. You don't know where it's going. Okay, you don't know your destination. You don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. You don't know where the next year is going to take you. We have no idea what's going to happen in the world, what's going to come into your life, what changes are going to take place, and there's only so much you can plan for. And that's the thing about plans. You have to give God permission to alter your plans and not resent him for it. Okay, I mean, we'd love to be able to determine and control our whole future course. You know, we would like to have all things nice and laid out. You know, when I get out of school, I'm going to do this. When I turn 65, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to pay it off. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to have kids and grandkids. And, like, it'll be great. These are the things that I want out of life. Well, most people have things that they want out of life. But you have to sort of be spiritually prepared not to get them. You understand? You have to give God permission to redirect. Okay? Say you don't get married. Say you don't get the job that you wanted, or you don't get the house that you wanted, or you don't get the retirement that you've been anxiously awaiting for, you know, what then? Let's say something evil comes into your life. You know, somebody sues you, and you end up spending years of your life and tens of thousands of dollars tangled up in legal difficulties. Somebody hacks your bank account and steals your money. You have a fire. Who knows, okay? You just don't, okay? That's why that faith attitude of going without knowing, to me, is so helpful for each day's peace. I'm in the Lord's hands. Here's the problem, whatever the problem is. Here's the future. It's quite uncertain. God hasn't told me the destination. I really have no idea how this is going to work out. I don't know if everything's going to be okay, but I'm willing to trust. I'm willing to be led. Like, today I can live to please him, and I can go to bed tonight knowing that God's watching over me. Okay, so I don't have to have control. I don't have to get the outcome that I'm hoping for, and I don't have to have assurances. God does good things. Even when everything goes haywire, he does good things, and that's enough for me to know. Okay, the psalm says, he leads me beside still waters, but it also says he leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. Right? Either way, though, he leads me. He's with me. Okay, even in the psalm says, in the presence of my enemies. So my obedience isn't then conditioned on knowing what's going to happen in advance. Okay, so that's why Paul says, none of these things move me. I don't even count my life dear to myself, just so I finish my race with joy, keep on testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. Okay, that's what I can control. Am I right? I mean, I can maintain my witness. I can speak up for Jesus. You know, I can stick to my guns. I can still share the word, even if they arrest me. You know, even if they beat me, even if they take away all my possessions, I just want to stay faithful. That's what matters. Okay, and I'm not going to blame God about it. I'm not going to resent God if things go in unpredictable direction. I just want to please God. Okay, saints, there's things you can control and things you can't. Okay, I always say you can't help what other people do, but you can help what you do. Right? If other people are difficult or disobedient or defiant, okay, it doesn't mean you still can't obey the Lord, and it doesn't mean that the Lord can't still use you in that situation. Okay, that situation may be just where the Lord wants you to be, just to be his witness, maybe not even to fix anything. Like maybe you just can't fix it, but you could be God's man in that situation. That's all he wants from you. Now, there's a verse in Ezekiel where God says to him, whether they listen to you or whether they don't, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Okay, you can't fix anything. Okay, so if you can quit worrying about controlling the outcome and quit worrying about what ifs, you know, and just focus on obedience and maintaining a good witness, that'll bring you peace. Okay, Paul went to Jerusalem totally at peace with himself, totally at peace with God, just like Christ did. Okay, there's evil ahead when you get there. But the Lord is greater than all evil, and the Lord's my shepherd. Okay, now you already know your life isn't your own, whether it's long or short, right? You just use each day to honor the Lord Jesus. You already know life is messy. You can't clean everything up. You cannot solve all the world's problems. You can't fix the things. So you just do what you can, where you can, and you trust God to do good in the long run. Okay, so you know how Paul says, I've learned the secret of contentment. Okay, what's the secret? Well, to me, it's this. It's going without knowing. You know, it's just go. Go to the place I will show you. You'll find out when you get there. And, you know, just testify to the grace of God and the gospel, however, wherever, to whomever. And I'll be with you. You know, don't be afraid to go. So Paul's in jail when he writes that, I've learned the secret of content. He's in jail when he wrote that. Like, he's waiting to find out literally if he's going to live or be put to death. And he doesn't know how it's going to go. And he's content. Okay? He's like, either thing that happens, I'll accept. You know, either way, it'll be good. You know, if I live, that means more fruitful labor for me. If I die, I'll see the Lord, you know? And he says, that's far better. Okay? But I have had the chance here to testify even to the household of Caesar. He said, the whole palace guard here knows that I'm in chains because of Jesus Christ and him alone. That's a testimony. Okay? That's why God called me to testify by word, by deed, by my life, however, wherever, about the grace of God and the Lord Jesus. Okay, the things of this life are temporary anyway. What does it really matter what my destination ends up being, what the outcome is, whether I make it to 65, whether I get all the things that people want out of life? Okay, I don't need to know. Just go. Right? He leadeth me. Blessed thought. Right? So, you know, I mentioned this is how it was on the Nepal trip. You know, you make plans the best you can. You try to figure out how your week is going to go, but plans change, and sometimes they turn on a dime. They change very suddenly. Things don't go as you plan, so you just don't freak out. You just adapt. Okay, we're going to do this instead. I came here to be a help, came here to do what I can. I'll just do my best. Okay, I fully understand the Lord is able to do good things and make me a blessing somehow in some unpredictable way, and I'm content for that much. Okay, and Paul says, even if it's jail, you can't chain the gospel. Okay, what's the thing that keeps you going? It's the kingdom of God, right? That's coming. Kingdom of God is coming, and that lasts forever. A homeland, right? A city who, you know, designed and built by God. A world where righteousness dwells. That's where I'm really going. I know I'm going there, right? And Paul says, this is what we labor and strive for. I don't need to know where I'm going in this life because I trust God. He's leading me there to his eternal kingdom. Okay, so you also need to trust God that he will lead you there too, And don't fret too much about wherever he might lead you in between here and there. And don't resent him for any of it. Okay, do you need to trust God some more, you think? Okay, do you need to learn the secret of contentment? Well, I'd say one of the most effective ways of learning that secret is to study the examples of the saints who have gone before us, the saints who have achieved that, and that is what we're going to see in the rest of the book of Acts. Okay, so please come and learn from this man and imitate his way of life, imitate his courage, his determination, his loyalty, his patience, his witness. Okay, he's a flesh and blood man just like you and me. We've got the same Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts as he had. Okay, we can do this, right? With the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can learn to walk completely by faith, come whatever may. Right? The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Okay, if you say the Lord is my shepherd, right? If you say he leads me, that means you follow him, right? Trust and obey. Hebrews says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promise, right? Imitate them. They did it. You can too. By faith, Abraham went out. He obeyed. He went out without knowing where he was going. By faith, Paul went to Jerusalem, not knowing what was going to happen to him there. So by faith, you and I can do the same thing. All right, with that, let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful to you, Lord, that you are the master of the world. You are the governor of our lives. We know, Lord, your way is wise and good and always tending towards our holiness and our righteousness and our eternal glory, Father. So we bless your name. And I speak for my brothers and sisters to say that we trust you. Lord, increase our faith. Help us to trust you more. As the song says, oh, for faith to trust him more. Bless your children, Lord, with encouragement, with cheerful spirits. Take us out of this place, Lord, into the world that needs you. Put your words in our mouth, Lord, and help us to represent you well. Testify to the goodness of the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And it's in him we pray. Amen.